and welcome to Grace Unscripted, where we share stories of the people in and around Grace Church without any script, just real, raw conversations about life changed through Jesus. I'm your host, Audrey Wallace. Today, our guest is Stephanie Thompson. Now, I'm not going to spoil the major mountains being moved in Stephanie's life right here in this very time. By the time you've listened, maybe it's even the mountains have moved already for her, but as you listen to her story for her whole life, just think about it as a preparation for these things that she's going to be doing now in her midlife, and just the way that there's this faithfulness and this dependence and the surrounding, like angels on her shoulders, is what I kept feeling as I was hearing her story. Everything just to lead up to these big moves that God is doing in her life now. No spoilers here. You got to listen to find out. Stephanie, welcome to Unscripted.
Hi, glad to be here.
Thanks for coming. For our listeners, her adorable son, Jack, came in and like took a tour of all the audio equipment in this room beforehand. And he also shook Jason, our sound guy's hand, when he introduced himself. And I was so impressed by that. How old is he?
He is five.
Five.
He'll be six soon. He's turning six in December.
Going on 35.
Yeah.
Like, I was so impressed by him. So I'm excited to hear your story and how you raised such a gentleman and all the things that go into that as well. So,
well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Excited to go through this. So you and I have spent a little bit of time together, but really we're getting to know each other for the first time deeply.
Yeah.
So, and you've got some big things on the horizon.
We do.
Yeah. Yes. All right. No spoilers right now. Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
Did you grow up in the Akron area?
I did not. I grew up in Boulder, Colorado.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. I think this is a first. You grew up in Boulder.
Yes.
So like through school.
Through high school. Yeah. Whoa. Same house.
Okay.
Yep. Grew up there and then moved for college to Springfield, Missouri.
Okay.
And I was there for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
I got a bachelor's degree in social work. And then I worked there for a year after I graduated, and then I moved to Chicago.
Whoa.
For my master's. I just kept moving. Yep. I moved to Chicago for my master's degree in social work, and I ended up staying there for 6 years.
Wow.
And worked there in the city and loved it. And then I moved to Ohio to get married. So
from all those places.
Yeah,
it feels feels a little underwhelming, but tell me more.
But it was
love,
good because love right,
can conquer anything.
That's right.
Okay, so also let's rewind. In your childhood back in Boulder, what is that like? Because Boulder right now, when I think about it, it's like tech mecca hub and like this really cool, trendy hipster city.
Yeah.
Was it like that when you were born?
Yes. Like one of their mottos is keep Boulder weird. And it is
really?
Just, it is funky. It's kind of this like old hippie town.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. It was an interesting place to grow up and it's beautiful.
I bet.
It's right at the foot of the mountains.
Yeah.
It's also a college town.
Okay.
Just a lot going on and just a gorgeous place to grow up, honestly.
So what did you do in your childhood? Were you into sports or horses or music or reading?
I played violin. That was kind of my big like extracurricular activity.
If I gave you one right now, could you still play it?
I could.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I don't play very often anymore, but I could.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that was like my big hobby outside of school. My family was also really involved in our church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did a lot there. You know, we were there when they had Wednesday night services or like all that, you know. I was involved in like the kids programming. And really loved that, found a lot of connection there.
Was it a church similar to Grace Church's style or something different?
It was more of like Assemblies of God Pentecostal type church.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a little bit different than Grace.
I feel like I need to study the kinds of churches because people answer that question, and I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Like, move on.
Yeah. So that it means a little bit, obviously, to me, but interesting. Okay, so family was involved in that. Was that something like your parents' parents were in the church, or did your parents come to faith when they met, or how did that work out in your heritage of faith?
Yeah, Yeah. So different from my mom and dad. My dad found faith kind of on his own as a kid, like kind of preteen. Wow. He did not grow up in a very functional family in that like his mom was married like multiple times and just kind of a lot of turnover that way and father figures. And so, yeah, he like... was invited, I believe, to like a church and found God and followed him from there. And then my mom grew up more in like the Lutheran faith. And yeah, that side of the family is more rooted in in faith.
So this was part of your household. You prayed at dinner, you went to church, you know, at all the things, and that was integrated into your life. And you liked that, or you were drug there as a teen? Or...
I liked it. Good. Yeah, I've often said like I follow Jesus for as long as I can remember.
Like, I understand that statement.
I don't honestly even remember the first time like I decided to follow him. That used to bother me. Right. And I'd like pray the salvation prayer over just to like, ensure, which is bad theology. But yeah, I was just trying to like figure it out and like, but I just always loved him and I've like never strayed from that. And yeah, he's just always been like that faithful rock in my life that has helped me through like the highs and lows.
I think there's something special to that, and I've been reading through the Psalms, and there's certain verses that like kind of stand out of like that being that chosen people and being like touched and drawn in, and like just faithfulness and having faith as maybe like a spiritual gift, like that that is literally just something he implanted in you so early that I have a strange question for you. Did you guys do Santa as a kid?
We did.
Did you believe in Santa?
I did.
Did you have a hard time not believing in Santa?
I did.
Right?
Actually,
okay, this is like confirming my theory. I was the same way because I just have this faithfulness like in this thing. And not that I'm saying Santa and Jesus are in any way similar. It's just I think that there's a spiritual gift that God can give us. There's many of them. And faith is one of those. And you have that. And what a gift to then, you just said the rock of your life. Like, I bet the rest of this story is going to have some pits, right? But there's that rock there at the bottom to hold you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause growing up, like our family did struggle like financially. There was, you know, like some discord at times with my parents, just different things, you know, that families go through, but like always like Jesus, it was like still at the center, like, and he was what I like clung to in those times.
That's and such a gift and something you can give to others who don't have that in those hard times. And it's just that reminder, like you can speak that into them because it's a natural gift you have. Oh, love that. Okay. So, part of your church, you went willingly, family was going, siblings.
Yes. I have a younger sister.
Okay, cool. Is she still in Boulder?
No, she's in Missouri, actually. So she followed me to college in Missouri, and she's a kindergarten teacher there, has three kids and a wonderful family, and my mom is actually in Missouri now.
Wow.
Also, they my parents followed there when she had the first grandkids and moved there, and then my dad passed away like 3 years ago. Yeah, my mom is still also in Missouri, so we don't get back to Colorado as often anymore as we used to. I still have an aunt and friends there, but now more often when we go like visit family, it's actually Missouri.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so as you were finishing up school, like what did you dream of for your future?
So when I first started with my undergrad, I went to like a private Christian college that is affiliated with the Assemblies of God. It was called Evangel University. And I started with a triple major.
Whoa.
Because I was super ambitious. And so,
I've never heard someone starting that way.
I don't know what I was thinking, but I chose missions, biblical studies, and elementary education. And my heart had been to really do something very missional, something for God. Growing up in Boulder, I was part of a youth group that really like emphasized missions. We took like short-term missions trips, and those had kind of like really changed me. We went to like LA and the Dream Center, which is this big organization, like missional organization there, and I just started to like see the world differently and see it like through God's eyes and like the Big C Church and just all that he was doing kind of, and I wanted to be part of that. And so I was like, I'm going to do something missional. And so I I didn't know quite what that looked like. I thought it was going to be overseas, actually.
Wow.
But as I kind of started to narrow down my major and realized that that was far too ambitious, yeah. I chose social work because I figured out that you can do a lot of good helping people, okay. and that can be very missional as well. And so I launched into that degree and got that undergrad, and then, of course, moved to Chicago and basically did what I would consider more like inner city missions and work there, and really worked like in some of the communities and attended a church there and mm-hmm. got a job there and all that. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of where I saw God leading me in that season.
Mm-hmm. Do I Chicago because of the university you were doing your master's, or you just wanted to go to the city?
It is where I chose to do my okay. master's, but then I stayed there mm-hmm. For a while because I enjoyed it.
There's a lot.
It's a fun
like
place
there.
To live.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So what else happened in that? You're graduated and you're doing your master's and working in social work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else happened in that stage of your life?
Just in general, I was involved in a church there that did a lot of what they would call racial reconciliation work. Mm. It was kind of in a predominantly African American neighborhood, but they were really trying to merge cultures, I guess, and mm-hmm. reconcile cultures and the differences, and hey, we're all part of God's kingdom, and mm-hmm. we should be working together kind of mindset. And they did a lot of really cool work with homeless ministries. Mm-hmm. And so I was really involved in that. I really loved it. I was also working in it was a nursing facility there, but it's not one I would send my grandma to.
Okay.
It was pretty rough, inner city. It was, I worked for a mental health agency that contracted with them. And so all of our patients pretty much had schizophrenia, really severe mental illness.
Wow. As an elderly person.
Not necessarily, which is what, when I say nursing facility, we had people in their 20s too.
Okay.
It was rough. We had really high staff turnover. Mm-hmm. I ended up being the program director there for a while. Mm-hmm. And, I kept people calling off at 4 a.m. I can't do this mm-hmm. anymore because patients could be violent. And mm-hmm. It could just be really hard. It was very draining. Jeez. We were on call a lot. But mm-hmm. I learned a lot through that. Yeah. And definitely helped me kind of develop my career, so to speak.
Was there any part of you when you were in Chicago that was still that overseas mission thing? I felt called to that, and then I didn't, shifted, and what was that like?
Yeah,
for your heart?
Missions has always been part of my heart.
Because you were doing missions, I don't want to
discount
that.
Yeah, and that's
but...
you're on mission wherever you
are.
Sure,
of course.
And that's really how I see it. But our church there did actually take an overseas mission trip. We went to Kenya,
uh-huh.
and I went on that,
okay.
and that was really cool. And it kind of, again, just kind of ignited that desire to go overseas. And I was just man, I love doing this. I mm-hmm. love this work.
Mm-hmm.
I love making Jesus make sense in mm-hmm. other cultures. And just it was just something that my heart has always longed to do and loved to do. It's always kind of been there, but it's just okay, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go, and mm-hmm. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
So, wherever he plants me is where I'm going to serve.
Cool. Now, you said you moved to from Chicago to Ohio mm-hmm. for love.
Yes.
How did that enter the scene?
So my husband, Paul, and I actually went to college together in Missouri.
Okay.
He got a Bible degree there. He graduated a year before me. We did not date there. We were just acquaintances, if that.
Okay.
Apparently, we had a class together our freshman year, and I don't remember it.
Uh-huh.
he will tell you differently that, I was so cute. He was very intimidated.
Well, we will hear his
didn't
story
soon.
Didn't
want to ask me out. but I don't even remember him being in the class, which is terrible. But we connected later when I was in Chicago over Facebook, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He just started kind of messaging me. Mm-hmm. He's like, here's this cute girl I remember from college, mm-hmm. and then we started dating.
Classic millennial love
yes.
story.
Facebook.
Oh, wow.
and so, then we started long distance dating because mm-hmm. he was in Ohio.
So he went to Missouri from Ohio as his route.
Correct. He's from Ohio.
And then went right back mm-hmm. to Ohio after he graduated.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And
spoilers.
So,
we're interviewing Paul soon. So if you're listening to this, you either will get to hear Paul soon, or if it's already out there, go and listen to that next.
Yes. So obviously, as we got engaged and fell in love, one of us had to move, and we decided that would be me. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, got married. I moved to Ohio. Paul was a youth pastor at that time, so jumped into that ministry.
Heyo. Yeah. The youth pastor's wife is not something to enter lightly.
Yes. It was fun, though. It was really, truly fun.
In, not at Grace, though. Like
not
in,
at Grace.
In the Akron area.
In Stowe.
Northeast Ohio. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yep.
So you moved to this area when you came to Ohio.
Yeah, moved to Stowe first. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then.
So you got married and moved here. You didn't move here before you got married?
I moved, I think it was 2 weeks before we got married. It was a wild time, honestly.
Because
we planned the wedding here, and it was a lot to try to plan a wedding long distance, date long distance, all that. So I came and, stayed with a church friend for those 2 weeks before we got married and then moved in with Paul. Mm-hmm. And, it was, the first time we'd been in the same place together and were married. So it was a lot all at once. But honestly, it was a lot of fun. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's cool.
We were excited to be together.
You gotta build all those building blocks.
Yeah, long distance was hard. Yeah. So we were just super thrilled to be with one another.
You know, I'm just going to say that's quite opposite of the cultural. We really should live together first just to make sure X, Y, Z. You didn't even live in the same state first to make sure X, Y, and Z.
But there are benefits to long distance because it does, remove all the physical stuff. You have to learn to communicate really, really well, you know. And so it builds some of those foundations, I think. And so we had that kind of going in, and that was helpful.
Wow. Okay. So you got married, you're pastor's wife, you're ingrained in a completely new community.
Yes.
Was that at all challenging for you? Was there any, you've already moved a few times, so that you're not unaccustomed to that.
Right.
Every
time I move, it's challenging though, honestly, because I am an introvert and I make friends very slowly. Mm. I open up to people slowly.
You're doing great here.
Oh, thank you. I'm not immediately trusting. I know this is definitely out of my comfort zone. Immediately trusting. I just it takes me some time. So every time I've moved, I kind of know mentally now, it's going to take me a year or two to feel really fully connected. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of that was really, really hard the first time I moved in college. That freshman year of college was pretty awful. I was very homesick. I was really struggling with connection by the time I left college. I loved it, So I just, Chicago is a little bit easier. Every time, it's a little bit better, but I just kind of know.
Yeah, well, and you think about those major life transitions that are wildly stressful and could cause, just hardships, changing a job, changing a location, getting married, living in a new, getting a new home. You did all of that at once to the nth degree.
It was a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and there are challenges with being a pastor's wife. I'd never done that before. Felt like there were expectations placed on you that were either spoken or maybe unspoken. So just navigating that, what does my role look like here, at the church? My favorite thing about that really was the youth. They were just wonderful. And we are still in contact with a lot of them.
Yeah.
And we actually did take them on a mission trip too, to New York City. And that was a really fun memory, really good time working in Harlem. And we've partnered with the Salvation Army and just that it changes, it changes you. And I love taking youth in particular on things like that because, their perspective just shifts and you see that growth and that spiritual growth that can happen on those sorts of trips. So
just like you experienced.
Cool. Yes, exactly. Like I did. And so it was fun to be able to do that with them. And that was definitely a high.
And you said you've stayed in touch with any of them. Have any of them gone into ministry or doing other mission work like that?
Most are more in the vocational world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
missional there as well.
Yeah. Which is again, anywhere God places you is missional.
Mm-hmm.
I always encourage people to keep that mindset, because some will go do missions, but everybody is on mission.
Sure. So how did you come to the Grace family?
Yeah. Okay. So after we were youth pastors, I think about 4 years, and then we went and did a church plant in the Ellet area.
Okay.
And so Paul was more like the associate pastor, I guess, and I did a lot with the kids. I was kind of like in charge of like the admin side of that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we did that for, I forget how many years, a few years. And that was a hard season. It was one where we didn't see like as much growth as we had dreamed of or hoped of. And it was just kind of an exhausting thing because we were meeting in a school. And so we would get there super early, set up, you know, hope people would come, and we would try to do different programming things and, you know, then tear it back down and do it again the next week. And so we actually started going to Grace on Saturday evening services, mostly because I was never in service. Like I was always with the kids.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, wasn't a lot of other people to fill in there. So just to kind of like be part of a service,
we
started going. Yes. Yeah, exactly. So started going on Saturday night services. And so,
I've heard a lot about that for people who, in a variety of ways, I always have something on Sunday morning, so I've never gone to a church, or I'm going to a different church and I'm exploring something, or like even myself growing up Methodist, I felt like that was church and it was ritual and it was my religion and my, you know, or so I like do the other thing that is like, I like this part of church,
right.
And it felt extracurricular until I realized it didn't have to be.
Exactly.
It could be the root. So that wasn't the case for you, but
And we'd known of Grace before. We had actually visited a couple other times before we started the church plant, because in that kind of like transitional phase, we were just kind of doing a little research of like, how are other churches doing things? Mm. Like, so we visited several different churches just to kind of see like what we thought was working well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things at Grace was working really well. Like we really love it here.
And that's kind of, I want to just appreciate that Grace did move to Saturday night services. I mean, it was a long, long, long time ago, but they did that to reach another audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think like that's been a really, I just hear that over and over again.
Yeah. So when the church plant decided, hey, we're going to kind of close up, like we started coming here full time.
Okay. How long ago was that?
Ooh, good question. I want to say 9 years ago, maybe.
Wow.
It's been a little while now.
I
can't remember.
I'm
bad at dates.
Okay. So, yeah, within a decade, let's say. So, okay, so then you started to grow your community here, and then Paul was not the pastor at that church anymore, and
we weren't pastoring anymore.
Not, so what did you move into then?
For my career?
Sure.
Yeah. So when I first moved here, I worked for a foster care agency. And did that for a little while. And then I moved over to a pain management company where I was a mental health therapist for them and eventually their behavioral health director. And so within that, it's basically like, think if you have like debilitating chronic pain, how that has an impact on your mental health.
Mm.
That was kind of my role, was to help counsel folks and kind of help them walk through all of the emotional aspects of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that for a decade.
That sounds like really heavy.
It is, yeah. Yeah, my job is
for
heavy.
You,
it is, yeah. So I'm still a mental health therapist. I work for a different agency now. But, I treat all the heavy, all the trauma, all the grief. You know, it's a lot of that. So
well, and that rock that you have, that faith and that assurance is probably – because that can – people can fold under the pressure of that weight that you're talking about. So I'm sure that helped.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. Mm-hmm. You know what? Like, I would not still be doing that job if I didn't have God, if I didn't have Jesus. Because at the end of the day, you know, I walk away and just pray for the folks that I meet with and, like, trust that, like, he loves them the most. Like, as much as I care about them, he loves them infinitely more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just have to, like, give it to him, you know, and not take it home and not try to carry it and not take it all on myself to like fix people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately it's, you know, to be there to support them, to give them tools, to give them, you know, counsel and wisdom, but you know, God does the rest. And
absolutely.
So, that gives me a lot of peace.
Yeah. Has there been any ways that you've been able to share your faith either to coworkers or to patients or anything like that without
any HIPAA violations or anything. But like,
sure, yeah, you're not getting a lot of details.
Sure, you have a million stories, but I'm curious if there's anything you've seen God do through that, through you in that space.
Absolutely, yeah, because I do not work for like a Christian agency.
Yeah.
And so it's been one where, you know, I will never like force it on somebody, but I pray for those no-brainer moments like we talk about here at Grace. And I hope that God gives me that just obvious moment to say, hey, a lot of times it'll be like in a conversation of like worth or value or identity and like where people are finding that. And I'll be like, you know, this hasn't really worked for you. Like just pointing out like, you know, you're trying all these things and you're still feeling this way. And like, have you considered like these other options? Have you considered like where are you at? Spirituality, faith, you know, just kind of introducing it generally and then kind of narrowing in. And like, I have seen like patients come to faith and that's been very, very cool. And, you know, obviously like give God all the praise for that because it's just him working in their hearts and their minds and, you know, starting to examine like what I'm doing isn't working, you know, where my foundation is. You know, I'm putting my foundation is way too shaky. And, you know, I'm feeling terrible, whether it's depressed or anxious or whatever.
Yeah, there's no bottom to that pit.
Yeah.
Unless you put one, which is our Savior.
Yeah. So sometimes it's planting small seeds and sometimes it's, you know, seeing people come back to their faith or discover it for the first time. And that's one of my favorite things, obviously.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with Grace, like what kind of things have you gotten involved in here?
Yeah, so I'm a Shape connector. So with Shape, we, you know, help people find like their fit in the church, where they kind of belong, what are their spiritual gifts, what are their giftings, passions, all of that, and kind of help them navigate what that looks like in terms of getting plugged in at the church and serving in the church. And so that's fun. It feels kind of like a natural extension to what I already do. Like, obviously, I'm not there to do therapy, but we talk about hard stuff.
Oh, and they go deep.
Yes.
Yes.
So sometimes I'm like, this feels kind of like what I do all the time. And so I've really enjoyed that. We have served for quite a few years, actually almost since we started at Grace, on the Global Direction team. And so that's the team.
Sounds fitting for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's the team at Grace that kind of oversees like some of the global initiatives, global partnerships, all of that at Grace. And so it meets like once a month typically. And we just kind of talk about like how our partnerships are going or like the different short-term teams we're sending out, training for that, missionary care, you know, how are we caring for the missionaries that are on the ground, all of that. So it's been fun to serve on that. And then right now we're also life group leaders, although we are soon to be passing the baton over on that to a couple that is in our life group and planning to take that over, which is wonderful.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, we just actually moved out of our house this week, so it's that life group next week is at their house.
Well, that's a natural transition.
Yes, although we'll continue kind of leading some.
Like, you know, they say you birth when you create a new life group. This is like you induced delivery.
Yes.
So moved out of your house. Where did you move or what is...
Yeah, so we are currently in an Airbnb for the next 5 weeks.
Whoa.
Yeah.
In Akron?
In Monroe Falls.
Whoa.
Yeah, so our house sold really quickly. It sold in a day, which is just awesome.
Yeah.
But that meant that we had to kind of move out and figure out something short term. Yep.
Okay, so what's happening in 5 weeks?
Yeah, so in 5 weeks, we leave Ohio, move out of Ohio, and we're actually going to stop and visit my family in Missouri on our way for Christmas, but after that, we're heading to Texas for language school to learn Spanish for a year.
Okay, tell me more, because I feel like there's a plot twist here
right.
that is yet to be revealed.
Yeah, I know, you wanted to wait, so here's the big reveal. So we are becoming missionaries with Shoulder to Shoulder in Mazatlan, Mexico.
All right,
so that's the final destination. Yeah,
wow.
So all, you know, and honestly, like, we have been reflecting on this a lot, like, all the ways that God has woven our story together over the years. And you'll hear Paul's too, but like the way that He's put all these like kind of puzzle pieces together to lead us to this next step.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause really what Shoulder to Shoulder does is they exist to equip, empower, encourage like the local church in Mexico and pastors mm-hmm. and their families. And so, you know, we have a history of pastoring, right? Mm-hmm. So we know the highs and the lows of that. We know, mm-hmm. You know, how rewarding it can be and how challenging and draining it can mm-hmm. be, right? It's all of it, you know? And so that's unique to our story.
Yeah.
You know, with my mental health experience, mm-hmm. You know, one of the roles that I will be taking on there will be doing some counseling mm-hmm. with the pastors and their wives and their families and doing a lot of the care of, you know, kind of facilitating care for the pastors and their families and then also for the missionaries on the ground. Mm-hmm. So just seeing like how God has shaped, equipped me
mm-hmm.
To be able to do those things well. I reflect if I had gone to the mission field in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have been that effective. Mm. Honestly, like I really don't think I would have been. Like I would have been eager. Mm. I would have been a willing vessel. But like yeah. I didn't have the depth or the life experience that mm-hmm. I do now. Like I also wouldn't have had like the financial like backing that I think sure. we do now, which is part of this.
The relationships
you know?
And community.
Exactly. Like it's huge, you know. Like we don't just go alone. We go with like a huge group of people supporting us and backing us, you know, and I wouldn't have had that in my 20s.
For you.
Yeah, and praying for us. Sure. Yeah. And so, like, it makes sense now, you know, in the moment you're like, God, why are you doing this? Why aren't you, like, yeah. letting me follow this,
the
like,
desire of my
call
heart.
That I yes. think you've placed on my Aww. Life, you know, desire of my heart. And then he's like, just wait, Aww. You know? And so, we're seeing kind of all those, like, pieces now kind of fall together as mm-hmm. we make this journey towards Mazatlan.
Okay, so how long has that been stirring for you guys?
Yeah, so we really started talking about it and thinking about it after we went to Guatemala on a short-term trip.
Okay.
So before we were life group leaders, we were part of Joe Caruso's life group.
Okay.
And so we kind of birthed out of that group to lead ours, but that group took a trip together to Guatemala.
And wow, so that's cool.
Yeah, it was just really cool. And so we actually led that and we went down there and that's an amazing partnership too that Grace mm-hmm. Works with. They worked with Food for the Hungry there and they go to Chell.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of
Not
teams
easy
go.
To get to.
Right. It's very difficult to get to. And so yeah, we came back from that and like individually we were both just kind of like like God is doing something here. Like you'll hear Paul like say that he was feeling kind of unfulfilled and bored. Mm. He'd been working like probably a decade in like tech and like software development, all of that, which actually Shoulder to Shoulder also needs. So you see,
Whoa.
Again, all the puzzle pieces and ways
That's
that like
not random.
God is using,
yeah.
using all the like experiences. But yeah, he was kind of just feeling bored. Like, hey, I got this degree in the Bible and I think I should be using it. And so he was kind of wrestling with that. I was not bored. I was really good with life as it was in Ohio. Mm. And I was like, really, God, now? Like,
yeah.
Are you sure? Like, I was ready to go in my 20s, but now I'm kind of settled.
Right.
And I have a kid.
Right.
And
we talked about your 5-year-old at the very right? beginning of this.
I was like, I don't know.
It's
do
a
I
disruptor.
Now? Right. Yeah. So we were both kind of like dealing with that, like, nudge a little bit differently, but we were feeling the nudge, and we were starting to talk about it, and we're starting to pray about it, and we're like, okay, we love Guatemala, but we don't see a path forward in Guatemala because Food for the Hungry really just employs Guatemalans, which is awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they weren't really looking for missionary partners. And, you know, so we sat down with Joe Caruso, Pastor Joe, who is a good friend, and, you know, said, hey, like, this is what we're thinking. What are you thinking? Any ideas? And he said, well, hey, have you checked out Shoulder to Shoulder, which is another one of our partners that Grace sends a lot of short-term teams down every year, worked with them for a lot of years. And we're like, well, we know about them, obviously, because we're on the global direction
yeah.
team, but we had never been there.
Mm.
And so not this September, but last September, a year ago, Joe took us down on what we call a vision trip. So it was just a short trip to go check it out, basically. And that trip almost didn't happen. The directors of Shoulder to Shoulder, John and Rachel Reeser, were sick. They had dengue fever.
Oh, my.
Which I was like, okay, there's mosquitoes here that can kill you. Like,
as we're making our pros cons list.
Right, exactly. I'm like, oh, what's that? Oh, no. We went down anyway, and the Falkenbergs kind of took lead, which is another family that has been sent by Grace.
Yes, if anybody's listening, there are multiple episodes with them. In fact, Ben, the husband of that couple, started Unscripted. So if you didn't know that already,
that was a passion
of his heart, and he started Unscripted years and years ago. And then when they got called in the mission field, it was left vacant, and then when Grace wanted to start sharing stories again, Pastor Joe did it for a very short time, but his schedule didn't allow, and so that's when I stepped into that. And literally, just a little side note, when they asked me about it, I was like, the last person that did Unscripted got called into the mission field and moved to Mexico. I need to put that on my pros cons list. Like, God can do anything with this. So proceed with caution. I'm joking slightly, but
you could be next.
That was on my mind.
That's so funny. Well, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, go back and listen.
Shout out to Ben.
He's the original voice of Grace Unscripted. Yes. So.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. So we went down there. Yeah, Ben, Tanya really took lead. They showed us around. They took us to some of the churches that they partner with, you know, showed us the ministry, and we just kind of got a snapshot. And what's interesting is when we walked away from that, Paul, who'd kind of been really more in the driver's seat of this, like, I think we need to go, was like, nope, we're not doing this.
Whoa,
and I was like looking around going, I'm going to probably move here.
Wow. So the coin flipped.
Kind of flipped, and then we just kind of entered this season of prayer and reflection and just like relationship building. So we did hop on Zoom calls with the Reesers. They got better, which is great. Got over dengue. And, you know, just kind of connected with the team. And they suggested we read some books, which were really helpful. And they suggested we go down on some short-term trips. Just to kind of see things from that side. And so Paul hopped on the February men's trip.
I'm like, my brain is blowing right now because you said September. That's 14 months ago that
this
first domino started to tip. Not the first domino, but like the Mazatlan domino started to tip. And you said multiple mission trips in between. Like, whoa, this
traveled a lot. Yeah, so Paul went down in February with the men's team. I went with student ministries in June.
Okay.
And then in between that, in April, our whole family went down for their staff retreat. And so our son, Jack, got to go to and see it. So in the midst of that, we're wrestling, we're praying. I was really grieving. Like, I got back and I was like, I'm going to move here probably. But then I started this like deep grief of like, it was fall at that time. And I'm looking around going, I'm going to miss fall. Like, I knew like this was probably where we're headed, but I was still wrestling with it. And I wasn't like giving my full yes yet. Mm. Like, it was a maybe, you know,
predetermined maybe, as we so often say here.
Yes, I know. And so I was just,
if we're being
wrestling.
Honest though, most people probably give a predetermined maybe.
Yes, I know.
To start.
True?
And then it's like, like, okay.
We want, in our hearts, we want it to be a yes. But so wrestled with it, prayed about it. Paul really got a lot of clarity, I think, when he was down on his trip in February and was feeling more like, this is where I want to go. It took me a lot longer. I really didn't give my full yes until the women's retreat, actually. And that was a very pivotal moment for
me.
So I went to Sarah Yaiko, who's also a very good friend's breakout session thing.
The best yes?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So we had put on like a missions conference. The team that I'm on did the missions conferences. And we had done one a few years ago. And the theme of that was like your next best yes kind of thing. And so we had done this board where everybody wrote what their next yes was. And at that time, we hadn't been on a mission trip with Grace yet. And so I remember Paul and I were like go on a trip, which then we did, right? We went to Guatemala. We went a couple times. We also led the medical team last year, and we were leading the medical team. We're helping lead the medical team this year, who is actually currently there.
Yeah, the Murrays are.
Yes, yeah, they are. Yes. But we had to pull out of that because of this adventure that we're on now. So great leadership took that over, and so we're thankful for that piece that God put in place also. But yeah, sorry, going back.
Yeah.
No, I totally lost my thought.
Well, the women's retreat, which was like March 30th
Thank you. Women's
to
retreat.
April.
Yeah, so that was, yes. So I was there. I was at this breakout session. And so I had put that on that board before go on a trip. Mm-hmm. And so then Sarah's talking about, you know, our yes and kind of tracing back some steps in our life. And she had the same board that we had used. And that was the moment that I just felt like, God, like, you have to, like, say yes and not maybe.
I'm getting chills.
Yeah. And so I wrote it on there, like, moved to Mazatlan, and I stuck it on the board, and I, like, told Paul, like, okay, I'm in.
Oh my gosh.
We're doing this, and, like, I went and cried and prayed and, like, and, yeah, like, had moments after that with Jesus.
Oh, and what just, a beautiful place to do
that. Yes, and literally by the lake, so it was awesome.
If anyone's listening, go to the women's retreat. They just announced it April 17th, 2026.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Please go, because it does give you so much time to just be with Jesus and reflect on things and, like, it was good. It was so good for me. And so, yeah, that was kind of our yes. And so then we're in, you know, in April, we're down at the staff retreat in Mazatlan. Mm-hmm. And Jack is kind of meeting everybody, and we're there. And we're kind of looking at our timeline going, you know, it's going to take us a long time to get here. Like, even if we say, you know, we're saying yes.
Yeah.
You know, we were looking at leaving next August because we thought, oh, it would be best to line up Jack's school schedules, right? And, like, he gets out of kindergarten. He's in kindergarten this year, so he gets out of kindergarten. And then, you know, we'll start him in Texas in first grade, you know? And so we thought that's what we're going to do. But Paul was kind of complaining to Ben about it while we were there. He's like, man, this is just so long, man. And Ben was just kind of encouraging him. But literally the next day, Paul gets a call from his job saying he's laid off.
The next day.
The next day. While we're at the retreat in Mazatlan, Mexico.
He got a call in Mexico to say that.
Yes. And so we're like, God, what are you doing? Like, what? And so, yeah, we're just shocked. And it was just a big company layoff. Everybody's like, why'd they call him while he was out of the country?
Yeah.
It was just, that was the day everyone got left laid off, you know? And so we were shocked, but it was amazing to be with that group of people then and let them love on us and let them pray for us.
Oh,
and,
wow. So you're, like, already experiencing that piece of this group of people.
It's a wonderful team.
And if you'd been in Ohio, you would have gotten that support from your Ohio family, but instead you, like, got to build more roots in that short time.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, God, you go.
So we're like, okay, God. And so we came back, and we didn't immediately say, okay, like, we were just kind of praying through, like, what does this mean? Paul did apply for some jobs just to see, because we're like, we could still wait till August. You know, God could provide, like, something temporary. Like, we're not sure. He had, like, 6 multi-round interviews in TechU, like, interview, because he was, like, at a supervisor level. So you just interview, and, like, I don't understand it, but you have to do, like, many interviews. Yeah, and so and he made it to those end rounds and didn't get any of the jobs, and we're like, okay. And, like, just God started, like, showing us that we needed to go sooner.
Whoa.
Like, that he was making a path and opening doors in a variety of ways for this to happen. And so I will say, in this season that we've been in, like, there's been so much confirmation, affirmation of just, like, this is the path that you're on, and this is, you know, you're kind of in the center of my will, and this is where,
sure,
where you
and
need
I
to be
will
heading,
protect
and he's
and
providing
shield you.
Exactly, providing
yes.
and just being with us through all of it. It's hard, but we feel him in it. And it has been a season of, like you mentioned, faith, increasing our faith and increasing our just total dependence on him. And so, yeah, and I believe it was August that we started fundraising and started kind of, well, what we call it more like support raising, because it's not just financial, but obviously it's prayer and it's people to encourage and just kind of join a team, so to speak, of, like we're kind of backing you and spiritually and financially. Mm-hmm. And so, again, like God helped us do that really quickly, mm-hmm. like quicker than most, like the average missionary. Mm-hmm. And so we're so thankful. We're very nearly funded. Mm-hmm. Wow. And so again, like we sold our house in a day, right? And so just all these ways that God is just paving the way. Mm-hmm. And so now we're leaving in December, and starting language school in January. Mm-hmm. We have Jack enrolled in a school in Texas also. Wow. So we'll be in Texas for a year. Mm-hmm. It's a college, so it's two college semesters. And so, yeah, we'll hopefully learn Spanish really, really well.
Do you have any history or baseline with Spanish?
No, I took French in high school, which I regret now because mm-hmm. it's not serving me very mm-hmm. well. But we have done a bit to kind of try to learn. We have a mm-hmm. friend that has been so gracious to sit down and do some tutoring with us. We've been doing our daily Duolingo. Mm-hmm. And so just trying to get some like basic knowledge.
Yeah.
But this college is unique. It's kind of right at the border of Texas and Mexico. Mm-hmm. And it is primarily a Bible college for Latin American students to come and get a Bible degree. So they come from all sorts of different Latin American countries.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also has this language school for folks that want to be missionaries to Latin mm-hmm. American countries.
Like an immersive.
So experience. That's how they make it immersive. Yeah, they tell the students that speak Spanish that they're not allowed to speak English Whoa. To us. And so on campus, the goal is that it feels very immersive and that we, you know, we kind of have to build relationships and communicate in Spanish. But it's very intensive, you know, all morning classes and then the afternoon tutoring
mm-hmm.
And support that way. So hopefully, I prayerfully, we learn Spanish quickly.
Mm. Wow. I wish that I had I think I mentioned I'm studying Psalms right now. I wish I had my book with me because there is a scripture recently I read that just talked about being surrounded, mm-hmm. like that God was surrounding, whether David or another writer, with all of these provisions and protections, and and he was feeling surrounded. And like mm-hmm. that word, you mentioned it, and it just kind of draws that out for me to feel like you can feel surrounded by a lot of things. You can feel surrounded like, you know, things are attacking you, but there's also the surrounded of like, I am protected by all of these fellow believers who are covering me in prayer through your absolute trust and faith in our God who has gone before you, mm-hmm. who has laid that path. He is like splitting the Red Sea. I can see it. Yeah. You know, you're just stepping on dry land.
And we're just
land.
Amazed by it. We're like, okay, God, like mm-hmm. this is so cool because you're right. We do feel surrounded by him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. in all the best ways.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it's been a wild week. We, like I said, we move. We're, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, and his family's near, so I'm sure we'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
Your family, you've been separated mm-hmm. for some time. So it's like, I remember when the Falkenbergs left, and I know Ben's sister more than anyone in that family and how hard it was for her when that happened.
Yeah.
And it's so good. And she knew that, but it was so hard. And my own brother's moved away, and it's just like, it hurts. Yeah. Like you're talking about grief.
Yeah, there's a lot of grief in this.
But there's so much hope, but also like a peeling away. Yeah.
Like this week has been grief, you know. Mm. It's been saying goodbye to the house and the memories. Yeah. You know, we walked around the empty rooms like crying yesterday and just like remembering, you know, bringing our baby home and just all the memories. And so there's a lot of grief while there's also a lot of like hope and excitement.
Can you tell me the story of when and how you shared this with Jack?
Yeah, so we waited until we took him to Mazatlan.
Okay.
Because he's 5. Yeah. And so it's so hard to grasp what's Mexico.
Sure.
What's Mazatlan?
Right, we're still working on ABCs. Mean? We're not like a global like location.
Yeah, and so we took him there and you know, he had a great week. So with the staff retreat, you know, the adults kind of break out and actually Pastor Ryan from Akron East comes down and so he leads like you know, some sessions with the adults, but then they have just so much fun stuff planned for the kids. They have babysitters. They took them fun places. And so Jack loved it there. He had such a fun week. And there are other kids with the missionary families that are there. And so, you know, he was building relationships. And so then it was an easier tell, basically, mm-hmm. like, hey, like, this is what we're thinking about doing. And he has been overall, very, very excited. Mm. You know, he has had little moments of grief. Mm-hmm. And I think some people are more pre-grievers and some people are more post-grievers.
Oh, wow.
So I'm more of a pre-griever. Okay. Like I'm going to cry like months before and like experience all sorts of anticipatory bereavement. Mm. And then once it kind of happens, I'm going to like lock in, okay, we got to do the next thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I've kind of figured out with Jackie's a little bit more of like a post-griever. Mm. And so like it'll be interesting as we really make these big changes how he starts to process it, because I think it's just going to come in layers and in waves. Mm-hmm. As grief does. And mm-hmm. I don't think he fully gets it. Like when we were telling him like, okay, this is the last time you're going to be in this house, he's like, why? Are we coming to come back and visit? We're like, mm-hmm. nobody. Like just trying to help him understand. And, yeah, and it's hard, you know. So he's overall, like I said, very excited. He walked into his kindergarten class for Meet the Teacher at the beginning of the year, and he saw a map, and he ran over to it and found Mexico and said to his teacher, I'm moving here, and I'm going to swim every single day.
Oh,
we're like, well, you're going to swim a lot more.
Yeah.
Because it is on the coast.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's excited. And I mean, the reality will hit, and you know that it's maybe not as fun as the retreat. Mm-hmm. Every single day.
Sure.
But we're glad that he is excited about it.
Well, you're the right mom for this transition, right? Your wisdom, your counseling, your experience, your understanding of human emotion mm-hmm. is going to really guide him as best that you can.
As best that we can,
right? Yeah, there's going to be those moments. He'll have his own story to tell someday.
He will.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, we're excited to do this as a family.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was a lot.
Yeah.
Any like final like, this is what I'm looking forward to, or this is what I'm fearful of, or this is what I would encourage the world to do or think about as you're making this transition?
I would say, you know, like I said, like with mission, like you're always on mission wherever mm-hmm. you are. And so, you know, the goal is to, you know, help Jesus like be known and help him make sense. And, you know, wherever you are, you're doing that. And mm-hmm. we should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the biggest thing, you know, but we appreciate the prayers as we go on this unique adventure mm-hmm. that God has called us on.
Mm-hmm.
We're really super excited to partner with Shoulder to Shoulder. We think it's like probably one of the best models for doing missions mm-hmm. at this time, because it's not really like us being the ones that like are the heroes, is how Shoulder to Shoulder puts it, but we're hero makers. So we're like coming in and we're empowering and equipping Mexicans to reach Mexicans, and mm-hmm. that's always better, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're just super excited to be on this, you know, journey and adventure and see what God does. So it's really not about us.
Yeah.
Our website is actually notthemainstage.com, because we don't want to be like given praise or glory for this. Like we really genuinely don't. We want, you know, this to reflect on, you know, God and give him the glory and the praise for what he's going to do.
So you just said a website, so notthemainstage.com, and you'll update people there and put out like needs and ways that they can pray.
Yeah, everything is on there.
Financial support and everything.
Yeah, if you want to drop us a note, you can do that. Sure. We'd love that.
Wow.
It's That's all right amazing. There.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's something else I'm thinking about is you don't have to just learn Spanish. You mm-hmm. have to be able to translate. You're talking about going down there with behavioral health in mind for these staff members and these people who are in these hard spaces.
Yeah.
So that is going to be
There's a lot of cultural knowledge to learn. Yeah. And I'm very aware of that and that I need to, you know, be open to understanding it, you know, because there are a lot of cultural differences, and especially in how like mental health is approached too. So yes, I have a lot to learn.
Man, you're starting just a whole new world.
Yeah.
But there's so much of life left for you that you can really do that and bring to this group. Oh,
we're excited.
Well, within all of that, worship is a big part of how we experience God and mm-hmm. draw close to him. Mm-hmm. He's already as close as he can get to us. We just like get out our magnifying glass to like see him as big as he is. But we have an unscripted worship playlist on Spotify. So for anybody listening, you can look up unscripted worship on Spotify. Mm-hmm. And it's a collection of songs and that relate to the stories that we hear. So what song would you like to add to the unscripted worship playlist?
I would like to add Goodness of God.
Okay.
And the reason for that is it kind of I love worship, let me just say. It is like my go-to. Anytime, like, I am feeling down or, like, just throw on worship, and, like, that just changes my heart and my mindset. So I really was like, what song do I pick? Because there's so many that I love. And we've also been, like, listening to worship in Spanish, too, and that's just beautiful. I'm trying to learn all that, so that's been
fun. I've never thought about that before.
Yeah, it's a whole different, like...
Okay, so hold on. Is it, like radio hits we know and love translated to Spanish, or is it a whole completely different world of worship music, or a little bit of both?
Okay. A little bit of both. So, so the reason I'm choosing Goodness of God... It is a song I've always loved, and kind of my story reflects, I think, God's faithfulness, that he has always been faithful. And in there it says, in all my life you've been faithful, in all my life you've been so, so good. And so the reason I picked this, though, is when we were at the staff retreat, and Paul found out he got laid off that morning, and we went and told the staff, and they prayed for us. The next thing that they did, which was part of the agenda, was worship. And that was the song that they played in Spanish, and sang. And it's just, it was like that moment I was like, yes, like, I don't know what God's doing right now, but he's faithful and he's good. I'm going to rely on that.
Oh my gosh. Do you know those words in Spanish to that part
I'm
of the song?
I'm learning them.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that song actually, as we were talking at the beginning, is what came to mind for you, honestly. Aww. Because I think of that too. I have friends that share the same, like, I don't remember a life without God. It's just, he's always been there. And that has been a song that I've heard in that way as well. So it is
the best foundation.
So good. Yeah. Literally. Well, look that up, guys, if you're listening to this. You can look up the song itself in Espanol. I don't know if it's on Spotify or anything like that to find it in Spanish.
Absolutely.
Oh, can we add it in Spanish to the playlist?
Sure.
Let's do that. Okay, whoever does that part of this, add it in Spanish.
There we go. Awesome.
Oh, I'm so happy right now. This is wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie, sharing all of this story. If you don't mind, I'd like to just finish in praying for you.
Oh, I'd love
because
that.
I think that, like, if anybody's listening, like, would missionaries go on mission? I always see the email, right? If you could cover us in prayer, and if you have any financial, like, they always say prayer first. And I think that's huge. Like, if you're going to be a missionary, you literally mean that.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely. So, I've said this is the most important thing you can do.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So I guess just if you're listening, maybe put it on a list. Put it on a reminder on your phone every 6 months or something to pray for the Thompson family.
That'd
because
be amazing.
I just know that God, hears that and treasures that and, like, can be with you guys. So I'm just going to close this out here in prayer.
Thank you. Okay? Appreciate it.
Lord, we just heard Stephanie's story in a matter of minutes, less than an hour, but you know all of her story, all the depths of it, and not only her past, but her future. And we just want to give you glory for that, God. We want to acknowledge that you are all-knowing to every moment in her life, and we want to praise you for the ways that you are clearing the path for her and her husband and her son and anybody that they're about to go and touch, Lord. I just want to tell you, we trust you, we see you, and we are grateful for the ways that you've done that. And with that, we know you will continue to do it in the hard times, Lord, when they're feeling defeated. They don't have to carry that weight. You can take that for them so they can keep marching forward, God. So I ask you to give Stephanie the words in English and Spanish and whatever language is needed, God, because you can do that. You've done it before and you'll do it again. and that you can give her son protection and help her to know how to guide him and every other person that pours into their lives as they make this transition, God. And for our church family, just to be blessed by hearing this story and seeing these pieces of our family going off and following you so boldly, Lord, that they can just do the one little thing boldly as well as a result of this obedience that this family is showing to us, God. Thank you so much for bringing them here to Grace, and thank you so much for sending them. Amen.
Thank you.